Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. The third and final debate is tonight, and honestly, it might be horrible. With Trump now losing so badly, he might not even be running for president anymore. Rather than running to be king of the alt-right white nationalists, both as a business model and a narcissism model. So he may go even lower than he's gone before, and Hillary Clinton, with her big lead, may just play it cool and not try to argue with him very much. Neither of them may be very interested in having an issue-oriented debate, which is what most people in the general public still say they do want to hear. So, listeners, is there one substantive question that you would like to hear asked by the moderator, Chris Wallace, in tonight's final debate? If so, what is it? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. With me now are MTV political reporters Jamil Smith and Anna Marie Cox. Hi, Jamil. Hi, Anna Marie. Welcome back.
Hey, how are you?
So tell me I'm wrong. Tell me this debate will have some value to the public and won't just be like, he's a misogynist and she hid her emails.
Anna, you go first on that.
It depends on how you define value, right? I mean, it is nice to have one's sense of reality confirmed. So I'm going to say that it'll be good to have a performance that makes everybody feel especially good about going to the polls, if by good you mean by defeating someone who is an unstable and unserious person. But I am concerned a little bit about tonight, not in the sense of I guess, any real physical danger, despite all that stalking that went on last time, but because, this will be Trump's last chance to have a national stage. To the degree that he's had in the past, this is a bigger audience than his rallies. And I'm worried about the kinds of things he'll say. He's been talking up this rigged election nonsense. And, he could do that from the stage tonight to an audience that doesn't hear it because they haven't been paying attention to his rallies. And that, I think that's a very sincere and serious threat to the rule of law, quite frankly. I know Jamil is probably with me on this.
Oh, yes. I mean, look, Brian, the way Trump is trending now, he's going to lose. But he won't hesitate to damage Clinton any way that he can. So right now, it appears that, he's not only cratering, but he's in this kamikaze descent. Every day is an exercise, I think, in winning over not really voters, but really winning over people to his point of view. He wants to lower the standards as far as possible to merely kind of get away with things. And he knows that he's going down in flames, but I think he's really trying to take all of us with him, and I think tonight is going to be an exercise in that.
I've got two questions that I will propose right here that are substantive and not being asked as far as I know. Chris Wallace, if you're listening, here you go. The first one is Trump-oriented. The second one, Clinton-oriented. Mr. Trump, after admitting that you paid no federal income taxes for many years, you said you're the best person to reform the broken system because you know its tricks. But you haven't gotten specific about the provisions that you used, which you implied are too generous to real estate developers. An op-ed in the New York Times suggests three specific reforms to stop people from doing what you did. Shorten or eliminate the period in which loss carryovers can be used to offset other income. Ban the use of passive real estate losses to offset other income and limit depreciation deductions. And Secretary Clinton, you haven't gotten specific about these either. Which of these tax reforms would either of you endorse, if any? They could ask a version of that. I mean, maybe not that long and that detailed, but they could ask a version of that.
Very interesting. Go ahead, Jamil.
I think that certainly, they could ask that, but I think, I think people want to get an idea of how these policies are going to affect them and not just whether or not particular stances on those policies will make people, their candidates look bad. I think, people want to understand how this is going to hit them in the pocket. They want to understand how through all the weeds of all this policy that's been talked about, really mostly on Clinton's side, how will tax policy affect their bottom line at home? Will they be able to afford health care? Will they be able to afford all the necessities of life? These are things I think people actually are worried about. But also, I mean, frankly, you cannot excise the identity politics out of this. You have to ask them about, you know, first of all, Trump's voter intimidation. Are you specifically targeting any groups? What do you mean when you say certain people, you know, maybe rigging the election? You have to get to specifics. This is your one, really, frankly, your last opportunity to do so.
And I've got one other question. And Secretary Clinton, one of your quotes from a meeting released by WikiLeaks has you saying Bernie Sanders is getting lots of support from the most radical environmentalists because he's out there every day bashing the Keystone Pipeline. And you know I'm not into it for that. My view is I want to defend natural gas. I want to defend repairing and building the pipelines we need to fuel our economy. I want to defend fracking under the right circumstances, unquote. So, Secretary Clinton, you've never gotten specific about the right circumstances for allowing fracking, which New York State has banned as never safe. What are those circumstances? And then they can ask Trump about whether he would have any policy to slow global warming.
Or if it's just a Chinese conspiracy. I mean, I tend to agree with Jamil that people are less interested in gotcha than they are in how these things affect their lives. But clearly, you know, climate change and energy policy is a pretty direct connection to people's lives. And I got to say, here in Las Vegas, it's more direct than maybe most people would feel it across the country. You know, the Southwest, Nevada and California have been under a drought for a long time now. Most of the state is a natural disaster area because of that drought. The temperatures here in Las Vegas are already increasing. You know, people here already are feeling the effects of global climate change and are involved in a debate about energy policy. So I think it would be a really, really sharp question for them to ask, especially right here, although it's sort of interesting. And I know, again, Jamil can speak to this as well, how little these debates have reflected the needs and interests of the audiences that are at them. These debates are being held across the country in various, you know, locations where we've been on the ground talking to students. But the debates have not shown up on television as having a much of a reflection of the place that they're being held. You know, we haven't seen the interest of the communities reflected. And I think that's kind of disturbing in a way. Like, this is a national election, but people, I guess there is a saying, we used to say all politics are local, but even in this, you know, interconnected age, I mean, that's really important. I would hope they ask something about climate change in general, although that's apparently not on the agenda.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, I think certainly they should stop having these debates on college campuses if they're not going to talk about anything that college students are interested in. I mean, they're interested in immigration. They're interested in hearing about women's rights, specifically reproductive rights, abortion access. These are things that matter to that demographic, and they're the ones that are going to have to live the longest with whatever consequences come out of the election. It's time for anything that their concerns were put to the forefront.
Harry in Forest Hills has a question he would like to hear asked tonight. What is it, Harry?
I'd like to hear them discuss Social Security. I'll give you a quick history background. When Greenspan retired, he said the problem with Social Security is everybody knows where to find it. When Reagan became president, he was short of money to initiate his policies. He borrowed from Social Security, did not pay it back, and then with the Congress he had, it became policy that the end of every year, unspent Social Security money was allocated to other programs.
Harry, thank you very much. And this is another thing that came out about Clinton from WikiLeaks, which is that she said we should accept the Simpson-Bowles model on senior entitlements, which includes raising the Social Security retirement age, which is definitely not a point that she's been publicly campaigning on. They could ask them both about Social Security. That's certainly something that affects people's lives, but I don't know if they're going to do it.
Yeah, I sincerely doubt that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Wallace has not shown. I mean, none of the moderators have shown much interest in asking about some of these nitty gritty questions. We have seen mostly sound and fury signifying nothing. Although, I mean, I guess it is useful. I'll say this once again. I mean, these are chances for the candidates to tell us something about their character. We've definitely seen plenty of that. I do have this concern, not just, you know, as I said before, I think, you know, like Jamil, I feel that Trump is in a desperate position and could say or do potentially anything on that stage. And I'm worried about what he might say to his base. And I'm worried about, you know, these sort of it's crazy that we're in an election year where I am concerned, and I think other people are as well, about the platform that we're giving a crazy person. You know, like, we are giving a crazy person a platform to speak to millions of Americans about whatever he wants without a filter. And he has been shown to say things that are factually untrue, that are so not just racially insensitive, but racially inciting. And that's the biggest concern tonight. It's not that they're not going to talk about the issues. It's that someone's going to get on stage and basically ask people to commit acts of violence.
And in fact, let me play a clip about that, because Trump's main campaign theme this week, as you know, has been about how the election will be rigged. And what it comes down to is stolen by dead people voting in the cities. And he makes a point of saying in the cities. Here's just 9 seconds to bear with of Trump.
But they even want to try and rig the election at the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt. And you see that. And voter fraud is all too common.
That was just yesterday. So many cities where it's corrupt. And we know what cities is a code word for, Jamil. So basically he's saying that dead black people are going to steal the election from him.
Exactly. And, I mean, considering, look, I mean, what, 31 cases out of a billion votes cast of voter fraud, and he keeps saying that the way he makes it sound, it's like voter fraud is happening in every single polling place in America. And this is, frankly, you know, a way to undermine faith in not only our politics, but also in the efficiency of our elections. And, I mean, really, Clinton has got to come out and challenge Trump's efforts to do this. I mean, she's got to echo a lot of what the president said yesterday and say, essentially, challenge him on his toughness. And I think...
On his toughness? Like,
look, if you aren't tough enough to actually, like, go through this process without undermining faith in our action, our elections, then maybe you're not fit to be president. I think, really, you know, she's got to also point to the fact that, you know, he just hired a guy who, you know, released a 2008 video showing new Black Panthers in Philadelphia allegedly intimidating voters. Well, he's proposing literally the same thing, asking people to sign up as quote-unquote election observers outside of the law, actual election observers, you know, who are trained and who are, you know, authorized to be there, are already there, you know, to make sure that everything goes right. But he wants his voters who are untrained and, frankly, a little bit unhinged sometimes. Right.
Which is illegal. It's illegal. Voter intimidation is illegal.
Yes. It's voter intimidation. It's not observation. And she needs to call him out on it. She cannot rely upon Chris Wallace to do so.
And we'll be talking about this particular topic in a separate segment later in the program. It's so important. But last thing, Anna Marie, Clinton has started running campaign commercials in Georgia and in Texas. Texas. Does the polling actually show that Trump is alienating the alt-right capital of the United States, Texas?
Oh, no. The alt-right, I'm from Austin, so I take exception to you calling
Austin,
the capital of Texas.
Austin is not Texas.
That's true. And Texas is Texas. All my family's from Texas. Some of my family's conservative. I'm not going to say anything bad about Texans. What I am going to say is they have some common sense, and they don't like, you know, there's something they don't like about him. It probably is that he doesn't make a lot of sense. It might be that he's not a true conservative, which is a legitimate reason not to like Trump, because he's not a legitimate conservative. He has no ideology. I mean, he'd be easier to deal with. He'd be somebody we could understand and maybe have someone who could govern if he had an ideology or a consistent way of thinking about the world. I will point out, and other people, you know, probably realize this, these ad buys she's doing in Texas and Georgia are fairly small. They are not actually, I think, in play in a way that she's really going to go after them. I mean, this just does speak to the enormous distaste people have for him and his inability to make the case to people who want the case to be made to them. Conservatives would like to have someone to vote for, and they don't feel like they do.
Anna Marie Cox and Jamil Smith are covering the election for MTV News. And if you just think of MTV as that television channel, look at their website, because they're also writing really, really good articles. So thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Now, listeners, tonight, in addition to watching the debate, we are inviting people to Bruce the debate. Tweet your reactions to the debate using Bruce Springsteen lyrics. We have two on-staff New Jersey Bruce heads, Matt Katz and Kerry Nolan, who will lead the tweeting, and anyone can join in. Use the hashtag Bruce the debate. And lo and behold, we saw this morning that the boss himself has retweeted our invitation. So maybe he'll even Bruce the debate. Listen to the debate here on WNYC. I will kick off our coverage at 8 o'clock tonight. And then to make this excruciating moment more bearable, you are invited to Bruce the debate along with Matt Katz and Kerry Nolan. Use the hashtag Bruce the debate. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More in a minute.